So this afternoon's practice, we're going to expand and try to see if we can allow the metta or move the metta from this kind friendliness into karuna or compassion, trying to call into mind and to bring up and to consider and to care and to feel into this experience of compassion. And also, we'll work with the other side of that coin, which would be appreciation, learning how to appreciate and to enjoy, to have gratitude, empathetic joy. And we'll work with those actually back to back. These are often known as the metta practices are known as the four immeasurables. We have loving kindness, compassion, appreciation, equanimity. In the Abhidharma, which is the Buddhist teachings on Buddhist psychology, they are known as the illimitables. And they are part of a set of mental states, or beautiful mental states, as they're considered to be beautiful mind states. And they're illimitable in the sense that there's no limit to the amount of sorrow in the world, and there's no limit to the amount of joy in the world. And there's actually no limit to the amount of compassion or appreciation that we can cultivate. And they're not, unlike metta, where metta, kindness, friendliness, is appropriate all of the time. It's something that we can have as a resting place, as an anchor, as a abiding, a ground. These illimitables are appropriate in certain scenarios. So we don't need to walk around, you know, radiating or being compassionate all the time. We don't need to be thinking that we have to be grateful and appreciative all the time. They're meant to call to mind in situations where that would be appropriate. And so they're still part of metta. It's just that the metta has a flexibility to it, so it can expand and it can take on a different kind of feeling or a different kind of role. So when we are in a difficult experience, when there's pain and there's discomfort and there's loss and there's sadness, and when life is in that more sorrowful, challenging, painful domain, what the metta does, or what we want to incline it to do, is to call to mind the compassion, this kindness. We want to be kindness and compassion and a sense of caring, a concern, a caring. Oh, this is a difficult moment. This is a difficult experience. Maybe being at ease isn't enough. Maybe I can't be at ease with this. Maybe it's too distressing. And I'm actually not at ease. So now the metta can say, well, calls to mind this compassion and says, okay, this is not an easy situation. This is very challenging, very difficult, very painful. And it has that compassion, that ability to care deeply for that which hurts, is what it does and can do. And it's not necessary in all moments of experience, but it's helpful in many situations in our life. So we train in compassion practices so that way we have kind of a store bank, or we have access, or we can identify and we can access this sense of compassion. So that way, when we go through our lives and we're confronted with these experiences of loss or difficulty, pain, and anything from a small all the way to a large amount of that, we want to have access to that. We want to have trained in a way where we can kind of bring that to mind. And at the same time, we want to be able to, when metta mudita, we want to be able to bring the metta into an appreciation quality, an appreciative quality, an enjoyment. So when we have the accomplishments in life that we have, the successes that we have, the goodness, all of these pleasantries, life is often good, and we maybe don't even recognize that. So even with metta, compassion, karuna, mudita, all these words, you know, these really beautiful spiritual emotions, the mindfulness component is always the recognition of that quality. So we want to be able to do two things. We want to be able to recognize that these qualities are part of our human experience, and we can learn to call them to mind, and we can access them when we need them. And we also need to recognize when they might be appropriate. You know, it's weird when you start practicing these things. Sometimes I'll come to the end of a really wonderful experience or a nice hike or some time with some friends or going, and I'm like, oh, I forgot to appreciate that while it was happening. Damn it! You know, I took it for granted, or I maybe could have enjoyed it more, or I could have recognized with gratitude. And so to me, when metta vipassana, to see clearly, to be mindful of this, is that we're recognizing with a quality. So we recognize with metta, we recognize something with kindness. We recognize something with gratitude. We recognize with compassion. We remember to recognize, oh, this is an appropriate moment where compassion, and then we try to bring that quality to mind. Does that make sense? So again, we got to stop using our Dharma practice and our meditation practice for wanting to boil it down to the one thing. What's the one thing? You could maybe say the one thing is metta, but metta has a, it takes on different roles. It transforms. Metta has a transformative quality. And when the conditions that we're in are challenging, we want to transform the metta to include compassion. When the conditions are agreeable and pleasant and accomplishment and success and connection, we want to transform the metta into appreciation, to appreciate, to recognize with gratitude. When we appreciate ourselves, when we cultivate this quality of appreciation or appreciative joy, as it's often called, is that what it does is it allows us to increase in value. Our sense of values, our values that we hold. We all have a value system. But sometimes we don't actually, we might value things, we might value gratitude, or we might value compassion, but we don't have the visceral feeling valuable. I have no value. So when you appreciate, it's actually kind of interesting. They use the same term in like real estate. Right? If your house appreciates, it actually means that it literally increases in value. I think that's interesting that they use this Buddhist term to talk about. I don't think they did that, but that's the same thing, right? Same concept. The same thing becomes more valuable over time. How do we become more valuable over time? Well, we practice appreciative joy and compassion. And so we have to be able to have this internal, external. So as we practice here on retreat, we have this opportunity to try to bring the compassion to our own direct experience. Compassion for my pain. And we often find that it's easier for us as humans, that we oftentimes can become preoccupied, or we find it's easier to have compassion for other people's struggle than it is for our own. It's easier. Right? And then actually the compassion is not very authentic, because a lot of times our compassion towards other people is actually not really compassion. It's more wanting to reassure or to fix somebody. It's not really compassion. That's you're hurting and I can't take it, so I want to fix you. And likewise, when we want to be able to appreciate ourselves, we also want to be able to participate in the joy of the world. And so this is really advanced for a lot of us, to try to be able to incline the mind. And it's the ability to appreciate without the need to have. Can I appreciate somebody else's accomplishment, somebody else's success, somebody else's joy, or do I need it to be mine? And we oftentimes can fall into this attitude of how come them and not me? You know, you just got out of a painful relationship and one of your friends just got into a great relationship. Oh, I'm so happy for you that you found this person. Right? You can hear it in the phrase, "Oh, I'm so happy for you that you won the lottery. Oh, I'm so happy for you that you have $10 million now and I don't have near that." We have a hard time with that because we become, so the opposites, what are the opposites of these experiences? And with this gratitude, appreciation, appreciative joy, it's the experience of envy or the sting of jealousy, wanting what somebody else has. And that cuts us off, that disconnects us. You have this, I don't have it. Now I decrease in value. If I'm comparing, and also the very common psychological aspect of the mind where we're comparing what I have what you compared to what you have. Right? And so there's a way in which I can devalue myself. I can devalue myself. Living in Los Angeles is a great way to watch your mind devalue yourself. Right? So it's hard enough in general, but it's really, we want to try to start this appreciation practice with the people in our lives that we actually do value and that we care about. Because there is, I find, something tragic about my inability to appreciate or participate in the joy of success of somebody that I actually really care about. And to not cut off from that. So we want to be able to also become that person for somebody else. You know, if you think about it in very basic terms or a very pragmatic way, think about when something good happens in your life, something that you're really happy about. You got a new job, you got a new relationship, whatever, something, some success, some accomplishment. Your mind automatically goes to the first two or three people that you want to tell. And why do those people arise in your mind? Because you know that they will participate in your joy. You're like, oh, I can't wait to tell so-and-so. We've been talking about this. They're going to be so happy for me. And we're going to have this metta, mudita, appreciative joy. I'm happy for myself. They're happy for me. They're participating in that. We feel really good about that. And you probably have a few people in mind that you might not tell.
I'm not going to tell them. They'll be totally jealous and angry and bitter.
Right? And maybe you can see that person like, how are you? I'm like, oh, I'm pretty good. I totally didn't just win $10 million or whatever. Right? Who do you want to be? Do you want to be the person that your friends reach out and tell about their joy and success and accomplishments? Or do you want to be the other drop-down man? You're like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to tell Dave about that. He's going to be jealous. Or he's going to devalue it. Or I think this is one of the harder practices, this mudita, this appreciative joy, because of everything I just said, is we all want our own. We all have our own cars, and we all have our own phones, and we all have our own apartments, and we all have our own thing. We don't have a tribal sense of community in this world anymore. And again, in Los Angeles, it's very interesting that way because everybody has their own car and their own phone, and everybody lives in a one-bedroom apartment and has their own mind. Everything is, it's all individualized. Mind, 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 mind. Of course, if you think about it, it's very good for economical, capitalistic reasons. Is that, you know, if people share, then, you know, you want everybody to have one so you can sell as many as possible. And we're set up that way. It's like there's this movie from the 90s, very funny movie called Swingers. Some of you probably saw Swingers, where they have this joke where they go from like one place to another and everybody gets in their own car, and it's like 10 guys and 10 cars. Like, everybody's in their own car by themselves. You never see more than one person in a car in Southern California. So we're set up for this already so much out of the gate. And so when we start to try to expand into, so in this kind of metta vipassana system that we're working with, which again is not a one thing, is as we start to see into and recognize what it is that's coming up in our present time experience. The metta is a great foundation, but the metta sometimes needs to adapt into a different type of field or healing field or different quality, where there'll be times when you're sitting in here. I'm sure you can already diagnose yourself. There's probably been many moments in here where some compassion would have been useful. Pain in the body, difficult memories, challenging emotion. Like, oh, that compassion business, that would have come in handy, right, in that particular set of conditions. Right? And then we find that we get caught in the near enemies, the near and far enemies, the far enemy of compassion being hatred and cruelty. And sometimes in our painful states, we can be hard on ourselves. We can blame ourselves, become angry at ourselves, and kind of become almost even violent in our thoughts. Ill will, self-hatred, blaming. It's my fault I have all this pain. The far, far enemy of compassion. And then also the near enemy of compassion, which is self-pity. Feeling sorry for myself that these things happen to me, which sometimes can look like compassion and can sometimes be one of the reasons why people are skeptic or maybe scared of something like compassion, because they might equate it to something like pity. Oh, I'm not supposed to feel sorry for myself. It's not about feeling sorry for yourself. It's about feeling with yourself and holding that with care. I care about this experience, difficulty, hardship that I'm having. Feeling with. Empathy is the colloquial term we would use, which just means to feel with. I feel with you. And compassion has the strength and the willingness and the ability to hold that without blame or judgment or the need to fix or the need to control. It just recognizes and says, yeah, I'm with you on this. I see, I feel, I care, I understand. I'm not trying to fix. I'm not trying to reassure. I know that for me, being on the receiving end of these things really, really gets me going. You want to see me get angry, just reassure me. It's like in that statement, if you're ever at a funeral, if you ever lost somebody in that way, and people say to you, oh, they're in a better place now. It's like, really? How do you know? Because I liked them when they were here actually much better, just saying. These kind of social niceties that really, when you're on the receiving end, don't feel quite good at all. You know? Oh, everything's going to be okay. Really? Everything's going to be okay, huh? Is that what you think? Because that's the exact opposite of how I feel in this moment. Right? And that's just our inability, other people's inability to actually feel into. If you're in pain and you're suffering and I can't tolerate that, I'm going to just fix you. Oh, everything's going to be okay. And we've all probably done it. Right? That's okay. But we also want to understand or to kind of consider what's it like when we were on the other side of that. It's not, I don't find it to feel very compassionate. I feel like I'm being condescended to or patronized or pitied. And then, of course, with appreciation, there are also near and far enemies. And, of course, again, the far enemy of gratitude, appreciation, is envy and jealousy. How come them and not me? And the near enemy is sort of this, can be this attachment or this clinging, which, of course, is very easy to cling to pleasant and good experiences. Mm-hmm. But it's the need, it's really the need to have it. It's really the self, mine, I want it to be mine. I want this to be mine. I want to have it. You can't have it, you can enjoy it, but you can't have it. It's even when you think of the most pleasant things, and I hate to say this to you because we're on retreat, but it's almost over, so I will say it. But there's something so unsatisfying about that last spoonful of ice cream in the bowl, right? It's like, I always think about that when I'm doing something. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have a bowl of ice cream, or I'm going to what? It's like you never have it. There's just scooping and lifting and placing and tasting and pleasant and the next. It's like, so it's so frustrating that you can never actually, it's like trying to grasp a handful of water. Like it could just run right through, right? So then we have to get the next, right? So when we do a practice like this, it can be challenging. And I like to teach them actually simultaneously, which is why I'm doing that today, because I know that when it's, if I've been on retreat before and sometimes I'm like in a really good mood and it's going well and the teacher comes in to do the compassion session, I'm like, wait a minute, I don't need compassion. I'm really good right now. You're gonna bum me out with all this suffering talk. Having a hard, where was the compassion practice yesterday at 10 a.m. when I was actually having a hard time? Or they come in and we do an appreciation practice and I'm actually not feeling so good. So we'll do both. And so that way, hopefully, we can adopt a wide range of experience. And I'm sure everybody here is having a different experience. So what I'll usually do is, so we're going to focus on ourselves, but to kind of prompt or to, dare I say, trigger or to try to get these things experiences, I always start with a different person. So when we do compassion, we'll start with sending compassion to somebody in our lives that's maybe easy to care about, somebody that's really important to us. And probably somebody that's important to us who's maybe having a little bit of a hard time right now. So being able to, a lot of times, if it's easier to have compassion for other people's difficulties and pains, it sometimes is just really pragmatic and efficient to start there. And then we'll kind of turn it towards ourselves. And then also with the appreciation practice, we'll start with somebody in our lives that we know that we care about, that's important to us, who's doing well, and wish them success and enjoyment, and may your happiness increase. So when we externally practice these, we look at somebody in our lives, somebody we know that we care about who's having a hard time, and we say, may you be free from your suffering. I see you, I feel you, I care about you. And also with the appreciation, I see you, I feel you, I appreciate you. May your happiness continue to grow. So there's this kind of wishing, which is maybe a strange word. Maybe in Buddhist practice we would say intention, we're intending to. And that's leaning this kind of mind in the proper direction. Knowing that maybe our tree might lean towards jealousy and envy, we gotta kind of maybe pull it back towards towards center, at least. Sometimes we find that we're out of center. So it's still metta. It's just the transformative aspects of metta. Sometimes people get confused and they think that they're four separate practices, but it's all metta practice. It just takes on different characteristics and different qualities to meet the different conditions of our lives. So they're all metta practices, but again, that baseline of practice is a sense of ease and kindness and friendliness. And compassion is a friendly aspect, but it's a caring for difficulty and pain. And the appreciation, the mudita, is a friendly, kind aspect that recognizes and appreciates and enjoys. Sometimes we have a hard time enjoying things. That's what you're supposed to do with joy. That's why we use the word enjoy. Joy is a noun, enjoy is a verb. What do you do with the joy? You enjoy it. And some people are not so good at that, it turns out. So we'll do these two practices, probably maybe about 20 minutes each practice. So before we get into that, if you want to take a moment to stand and to let your body have a little bit of a break. Beautiful day out there. And so just even in the standing, there can be a sense of compassion and bringing some compassion into the body for any of the pain and discomfort. And also some appreciation for the relief of any tension or tightness in the leg. So just moving postures can be a really ripe opportunity for a little bit of both. So I'll speak a little bit about the technique, dare I say that term, but it does follow a theme that we've been working with for the last day or so, so I think it's important to tie that together for you. So in this Vipassana, Metta Vipassana practice, the three kind of things, again, is always the seeing thing, so the recognizing. What is this? Recognize what this is. So we've been finding our way around our environment, our mental, emotional environment, by just recognizing things like sound and breathing and temperature, and just the basics. Recognizing, I see. Being able to access it, being able to feel it. What is this? How is this? How is this? How? What's the how of it? May I be at ease with it, how of it. So there's, I see it, I feel it, I see it, I feel it. I recognize it, I access it. I recognize it, I access it. And the third aspect, what does it need? So there's seeing it, there's feeling it, there's caring about it, there's appreciating it. But if you can recognize it and access it, then you can, what does this need? What's skillful, what's wholesome, what's constructive, what's liberating? So we just use that mapping, that cognitive mapping of see it, I see you, I feel you, I care about you. And those are my basic compassion phrases. I find them to be the most disarming. So it's just being able to see, feel, and care. So we'll use those kind of terminology. And also likewise with the appreciation and the gratitude, I see, I feel, I appreciate. Thankful, I'm grateful. So you can just let that idea land in your mind and body, and finding a way to sit that feels good for you, practice posture. And we'll start and end the practice with the bell. Just taking a moment to attune to your present time environment of your body and mind, your heart, your emotion. And just breathing in, breathing out, allowing your awareness to arrive at the heart center so that you're focusing on that ground of experience, sensation rising and passing with the in and out breath. Releasing tension or tightness in the throat. Allowing the breathing to move naturally through the hollow space of the mouth. In letting the belly be soft, spacious. So your whole front is just soft and available. And to begin, we just want to say the word compassion Just say the word internally to yourself and just see how it feels in the body. Compassion. 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 And doing your best to allow the body to receive that term. And then to inspire this aspect of metta, this karuna, compassion, just bring to mind somebody in your life that you care about who's having a hard time. Could be a friend, a family member, a coworker, just anybody that you know who's struggling. Just bringing their image and any memory that you have associated with them and holding that in the mind and in the heart. Bringing them into the room with you here today. Just beginning to offer some compassion towards them and letting the mind deliver that message. So just saying these three simple words. I see you. I see your struggle. I see your hardship. I see you. I feel you. I feel your pain. And I care about you. I care about you. Just holding that in the mind body. Offering this compassion for this person and letting those phrases repeat in a whatever repetition feels right for you so that you can stay with the feeling, their image, their memory. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I see you. I feel you. And I care about you. And offering this beautiful, heartfelt compassion towards your friend. May you be free from suffering. And staying with this cultivation, focus, aim, letting their image and memory be held in the mind and heart. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. And if it helps to be specific, you can say, I see that you're in pain. I feel that you're in pain. And I care about your pain. Breathing in and breathing out, and just returning to this phrase or this word, compassion, and allowing this image of your friend or loved one fade, and just bringing some mindfulness into the body, into sound, seeing if there's any tightness has accumulated in the body, relaxing the throat and belly, but allowing this sense of compassion to be as present. And now turning towards yourself. Seeing into your own struggle. And it's just as you would offer this compassion for a friend or loved one, beginning to turn towards and to offer that internally to yourself. I see you. I see you. I see your struggle. I see your hardship. I see your pain. I feel you. I feel this. I feel this pain, this struggle, this suffering. I care about you. And as if you're looking face to face into a mirror, it's a vipassana, inward seeing, seeing into your experience. With compassion. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. Offering that intention of compassion internally, here now. In grounding your experience in this compassion intention, I see you. I see what's been hard for you, whatever comes up through the memory and the emotion. I see you've had a hard time about things. I feel you. I feel your pain. I understand how this has been. I feel you. I care about you. I care about your pain. I care about this life. And if you like to keep the compassion self-focused, you can let the phrase, I care about you, I care about me, I care about myself. I care about you, I care about me, I care about myself. I care about you. I care about me. I care about myself. Allowing that message to get deep into the body, into the heart. Making sure every aspect of your experience can hear that loud and clear. I see you. I feel you. I care about you. I care about you, I care about me, I care about myself. And then allowing those phrases to fade and to just bring awareness, tuning back into your experience, your breathing, hearing the sounds. Letting the awareness receive the forest and the beauty and natural beauty around us. And checking back in with the body to see if there's any tension in the throat or the neck and release that. Allow the hollow space of the mouth and the breathing to move through that with openness and ease. Releasing any tension or tightness at the belly. And seeing if this metta at ease, friendliness, bringing that into the mind and body. And to incline the mind and the heart towards gratitude, saying that word. How does that feel in the body? Gratitude, appreciation. Just noticing any subtle differences or changes as you transform this metta into gratitude and appreciation. And then allowing your mind to be drawn towards somebody in your life that's easy for you to appreciate. Somebody who's been good to you. Somebody that you can bring to mind where it's easier for you or simple for you to appreciate. A teacher, a friend, counselor, therapist, anybody who you appreciate, and just bringing their image, sense of them to mind. Beginning to offer and extend some gratitude and appreciation towards them. I see you. I feel you. I appreciate you. I see you. I feel you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. Extending that out into the space, into the room, the heart, the mind. Inclining, extending the mind and heart towards a sense of gratitude and appreciation towards this person. Doing your best to continue to stay with the form, the intention, extending a sense of gratitude and appreciation outwardly towards this person as you hold them in your mind and heart. I see you. I feel you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing through the heart and accessing any sense of gratitude, appreciation towards this person. And allowing their image to fade, to pass away. And retuning yourself back to this present time by feeling the body and the sensations, sounds and breathing. And turning the gratitude and the appreciation inward towards yourself. I appreciate you. And if you begin to turn inward to acknowledge all of the accomplishments of your life, the successes, the joys, all of the hard work that you've done to improve, even extending gratitude to yourself to participate in something like this. This generosity of giving yourself time and space to practice with the heart and mind. I appreciate you. Thank you. Doesn't matter how large or small the amount, but extending this appreciation to increase in your own sense of value and worth and goodness. And just beginning to extend that phrase, that intention. I see you. I see all you've done. I see all your accomplishments, all your hard work. I feel you. I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm grateful for you. Sitting, practicing, extending gratitude and thanks and appreciation inward to yourself. I appreciate you. I appreciate me. I appreciate myself. I appreciate you. I appreciate me. I appreciate myself. Thank you. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for sitting with me. Thank you for paying attention to me. Thank you for being kind to me. Thank you for caring about me. I appreciate you. I appreciate me. I appreciate myself. I'm beginning to extend that out into all of the joy and beauty and pleasure in this world. May I learn to appreciate this life. This world. Just allowing the mind to even begin to expand into all of the things that you appreciate. Music and art, food and friends, nature. And just seeing if you can cultivate a mind that appreciates by recognizing anything and everything that is. A appreciative, joyful, beautiful, pleasant, good. So much in this world to be appreciative for. And may I appreciate all of the joy and beauty in this world. May I appreciate all of the joy and all of the beauty in this world.